puts it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Boyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
That's given away. It's Colón looking for the angle. It's a dream start for Mexico. A mistake in the back, and the U.S. punished at the start.
He's an outswinger toward the penalty spot off the woodwork. Right on!
U.S. double! Level! It's a grown man goal from the U.S. Wonder Kid!
Rolled across for Lainez. On his left is Lainez!
What an introduction to the match! Fresh off the bench, and Diego Lainez has fired Mexico back into the lead.
This one back post, McKinney!
It's an instant response! Weston McKinney! Puts the U.S. back on level terms, and it's all to play for down the stretch. Pulisic buries it in the upper 90. In a match in which the U.S. has shown so much character. It's their first ever Champions League winner who played in the final, who answers the call in the very next final. USA 3, Mexico 2 in extra time.
Rodalo from this spot.
And he's denied! Horvath with the save of his life! The hero off the bench for the U.S.
Welcome into Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. If you're a U.S. fan, you are on top of the world right now. If you're a Mexico fan, how badly are you hurting? Tonight it's 713-780-3776. To call in. I'm reaching out to the American Outlaws, supporters of U.S. team. Reaching out to the supporters of the selection of Mexico, El Tri fans as well. Pancho Villa's Army. We got a supporters group for them in Houston. Know those guys. So it's your chance to weigh in here tonight at 713-780-3776. Put this game in context for me tonight. Key moments for you. You know, I hear people conditioning it in every sort of way. Some of it's really, really out there. Other people have really, really good takes. Is this the golden generation now for the United States? And I would say it probably is. Tonight, we got a lot of great stuff in store here tonight. And by the way, a big thank you to Fred Fowler and BK for having me on there to talk some soccer. As mentioned, we will be having a European Championship host pub, and that is Hugh O'Connor's, and we're going to be out there live starting next Tuesday, four straight Tuesday nights. We'll have watch parties for the England-Scotland game. It's a great place to watch games out there, so get out to Hugh O'Connor's. We're going to have T-shirts to give away, guest hosts. We're going to have also a bunch of soccer balls to give away, Soccer Matters T-shirts, signed memorabilia. I got something signed from Dennis Law already, from Tom Clare. So there's going to be some amazing stuff out there, and trying to fill that place up on Tuesdays and have some fun. Summer's here, and the time is right. All right, a couple of things. Again, Marcelo Balboa, the former U.S. captain on U.S. and Mexico. Vlatko Andonovski will join us tonight in the second hour from the U.S. Women's National Team. He's got some tough decisions to make, and a couple of them involve local players here, and Jane Campbell and Christy Mewis of the Houston Dash. Vlatko will be on the show. Really appreciate that. That's ahead of the U.S. playing two games at BBVA Stadium and then going up to the new Q2 Stadium in Austin to actually inaugurate that stadium. So the U.S. Women's National Team in town. Matt Jordan, the Dynamo GM, will come on the show. We'll do a hit with Matt in the second hour as well, along with Vlatko, and then we'll finish it up tonight, Goalkeepers Union with Brad Stuver of Austin FC. The reason I'm running that interview is because it is a good interview. Number two, we've had Marco Maric on, but his story is interesting because he's 30 years of age, and it's kind of like a Joe Willis story. It's kind of like a Tim Melia story. These goalkeepers that, you know, just year after year remain an understudy, don't get a lot of games. work at their craft, and then finally get the breakthrough. I think if you're a goalkeeper out there, or you're a youth goalkeeper, college goalkeeper, it's an interview you're going to want to listen to, because there is a lot of psychology that goes into that position as well as others. So again, 713-780-3776. Ethan Horvath, here's another one. Guy was not starting at Bruges, comes off the bench in the U.S. game after Zach Steffen gets injured, becomes a vital piece of the victory, no question, probably the man of the match, makes a number of saves during the run of play, denies the penalty of Guardado, and instantly is ID'd in a bigger way to U.S. soccer fans. So, so let's get your take. Is this a U.S. golden generation? Was the United States the better team against Mexico in this Nations League final, lifting the cup? Where were the fallibilities of the Mexican national team? I'll give you one right now. Okay, Mexico fan? I'll give you one right now. Defending set pieces. What a nightmare. What a nightmare, Mexico fan. And we all know how important set pieces are in the world game, in the game at any level right now. I mean, Weston McKennie, did anybody want to mark the guy? Did anybody want to go up with him? Nobody could go up with him. Guy banked one off the post via the head, which was stuffed in by 18-year-old Gio Reyna, and then scored one of his own to tie it up at 2-2. And McKennie and Pulisic, absolutely huge. Absolutely huge. I think the key piece now, and we're going to get into the tactics of this, and I want to do it with you. 713-780-3776. But for Christian Pulisic, to me, it's very obvious. There's a couple things that are obvious in my judgment, okay? Remember, this is the best in soccer talk, self-proclaimed. But in my judgment, he has to play central. He has to be closer to Tyler Adams. He has to be closer to Weston McKennie. Because when these guys are great ball winners. When they win the ball, they have to have Christian Pulisic 10 to 15 yards away. He needs to be near them so that they can get him on the ball as quick as possible before defenses get organized and settled. They don't want to be picking their head up and seeing him out near the touchline or slightly in off a touchline. He's got to play central for me. What do you think? 713-780-3776. We can run the game on for 90 if you want, because this leads into a lot of what we have to talk about tonight. And, we'll get game on for 90 here shortly. But again, back to Pulisic. He's got to be in. All right, here we go.
Game on, man.
Here's Glenn Davis.
Game on.
With Game On for 90.
So if you're a U.S. soccer fan, you feel pretty good right now after the U.S. defeated Mexico in the Nations League final 3-2. A match full of drama, twists and turns, momentum changes, aggression, and some good soccer. Oh, and yes, some good beer wasted as well. If in fact it was beer. The U.S. did make a statement of possibility in this match for the future, because youth is king, and you saw young emerging leadership in the form of Christian Pulisic and Weston McKennie. The average age of the squad is 24. It has players that perform for Juventus, Chelsea, Red Bull Leipzig, and Dortmund, among others. This is uncharted waters. Listen to me, for U.S. soccer, and for you as a U.S. soccer fan. As these young players will continue to get blooded for club and country, the lookout towards the horizon is promising and filled with youthful promise, spirit, talent. What comes with that, though, is healthy pressure. And by the look of this group, it wants it. It wants to embrace it. They want that responsibility. They want to make this their national team. They want to make this the best national team ever. This also means that Coach Greg Berhalter will now, with this level of talent, have expectations raised and has to find his best lineup and playing style soon. The U.S. must qualify for the next World Cup in Qatar. These young guys need that World Cup experience, and they can serve the world notice. Then, thinking out in 2026, after playing in Qatar in 2022, you may have the greatest opportunity in the history of soccer in this country to make a run at actually winning a men's World Cup. Because, yes, it is on your home soil in 2026. A rare opportunity indeed. And that is Game On for 90. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. So the rivalry revisited. almost 40,000 fans, goals, mistakes, genuine dislike between the teams. The U.S. produced an indelible moment in that game. 3-2 win against their greatest CONCACAF rivals. And for the Mexico fan, it hurts. By the way, what the hell is the name of the tournament? Oh, yeah, the Nations League. That's right. Everything catapulting on the backs of each other's because we have a Gold Cup coming up, and both Mexico and the U.S. will have differing rosters for that one. The unlikely heroes in this one, backup goalkeeper Ethan Horvath. He became the star of the night, came on for the injured Zach Steffen. Steffen apparently has a bone bruise per Greg Berhalter today. Made critical saves. He denied Guardado from the penalty spot, as we mentioned, and he ID'd himself. To come into a game like that, with that pressure, off the bench, cold, produce that performance is special. Young leaders, Pulisic, Weston McKennie. Gio Reyna's 18. Second youngest U.S. player to score a goal. So we got a lot to talk about this game in Denver. Stream as always at hornfm.com, excuse me, ESPN975.com. It was a rite of passage for U.S. players last night. The two guys that changed the game most, obviously Ethan Horvath, and then Diego Lainez for Mexico, who Tata Martino placed on the same side of the field as Tim Ream on purpose. He cut into that area on his left foot, and I mentioned this on the show in Austin on the Horn. Inverted wingers, part of the big fascination with this, yes, of course it is to clear and drag in outside backs and clear space for others to get into getting forward. It's to take an opposing outside back into a place where he's got to decide whether either to go with you, or to hold his position. It means that the central defender and the holding midfielder have choices to make, and they have to make them very, very quickly. And in this case, it was three U.S. players around Lainez. By the way, it was only 15 yards away, 16 yards away when he smacks that with his left foot and in, and it goes through a few people. But if you go back and look at the video, he was not closed down. That's why when inverted wingers get inside, it puts people in two minds. Oh, he's got, okay, Kellen Acosta's going to pick him up, or McKenzie's going to pick him up, or, Tim's going with him. Tim Ream is going to block that shot. It's the whole idea of this thing, is to put people in a moment of hesitation, and the quality of these players at this level, they take advantage of those moments. So that was pretty interesting. 62 seconds in, Mexico scores. Tecatito Corona after a Mark McKenzie mistake. Now, to credit McKenzie fought through the mistake and recovered his stability to then complete a pretty solid game. He didn't succumb and just freeze and panic and have an absolute nightmare. He fought his way through it, as did the U.S. team a number of times when they weren't playing well. This three-back system was an absolute mess. And without VAR a couple years ago, that Hector Moreno goal is going to stand, and I got news for you. I don't think you're coming back in that one. 713-780-3776. Who's got a take? Somebody's got to have a take out there on U.S.-Mexico. Somebody has to have a take. Disagree with me. Agree, disagree. Have your own take. Bring me an observation. How much does it hurt if you're a Mexico fan, if at all? Maybe it's not a big deal. Maybe it's just Nations League. Maybe it's a bigger result for the United States because it's a golden generation. It's younger guys that need to basically, get themselves through this. And we all know 40,000 fans there, that's a different thing than playing in empty stadiums in Europe. And we all know the U.S. needed an uplifting win on the U.S. men's national team level. Let's go to the phone lines and George. George, what's on your mind?
A couple of comments on the U.S. Game. I think it certainly is a big victory for them.
then it would be for the Mexican national team. And, of course, as is always the case, the loser will always downplay it because, you know, why not? Look, the U.S. caught a lot of flack. I guess they didn't gel too well. I guess they only played, what, two games? But let's face it, these guys haven't really gotten together, and they haven't really played a lot of games in this CONCACAF, which we all know is just as dysfunctional in terms of playing style as it can get. And that it goes all the way from the pitches you play on, which this was not an issue this time, but, you know, the officiating, the fans, and so forth. So I think no matter how you look at this, you want to be a cynic, fine. This is a big win for the U.S., but it's a big win in the context of, like you said, the United or the Nations Cup, which, by the way, Europeans look at it as just a friendly type of league on steroids. I know it influences some of the World Cup ranking and so forth. My second comment really is on the officiating, which I thought, look, anybody that's going to wrestle in CONCACAF in a Mexico-USA game or the upper echelon semifinal, it's going to be a mess. So you got to have a lot of chutzpah in you and be able to control the game and the fans and the coaches and everything. So I thought he did fine for about 90 minutes. I keep using the word compensatory, but I felt that's how he refed in the last maybe 35 to 37 minutes. You could split hairs here, but I thought
okay,
he
lost
a little
bit. George, let me just cut in here real quick, and then I'm going to let you take over again. Panamanian referee. I have to be honest, I have not looked up his history, but if I'm thinking correctly here, he's probably refereed in CONCACAF. You know, maybe he's doing the Panamanian First Division. It's a little different than a Mexico-U.S. game, and that kind of a rivalry that presents a different challenge to a referee. I would say, you know, the ability to get intimidated in that environment would certainly be there. But I would also say for him, this is one of the most difficult games to ref, and it is the most difficult game to ref in this region of the world in CONCACAF.
For sure. And, I mean, I'm not taking anything away, and you're right. And I think in that contest we should recognize that. But this is CONCACAF. They also got to do better at producing some of these officials. I let others comment on this. I know there are many officials who are out there refereeing, and they have opinions and so forth. But that's just my take. And then finally, really on the keeper and on the penalty, I really thought that is it Horvath? Is that what his name is?
Yes, Ethan Horvath, the U.S. goalkeeper.
Yeah. The moment where it happened in the match, it was such a key moment. Some will argue that the penalty wasn't taken properly and all this, but you know what? The guy stepped up after having scored on immediately right as he came in. And he saved his team. And if you're a Mexican fan, you should not, and you have no right to complain about anything because you had your shot over there and you just blew it. And you had one of your best players take it. So, you know, as they say sometimes, scoreboard baby, you know. And I'll leave it to that. Maybe somebody else can call in. But overall, good win for the U.S. There's a long road ahead. But, hey, they show that they have the pedigree to hang in and win a game in which they arguably play like crap in the first half. So that's what I take out of it.
George, thank you very much. George, to Stangle Debate to everybody out there. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. 713-780-3776. If there are any referees out there, give us your take on how you thought the game was officiated. Was it really a handball? I believe it was on McKenzie. Was that a handball to you? Or was that a referee that was under pressure after giving Christian Pulisic a penalty, which looked to be earned? But let's get it. 713-780-3776. Quick word here for Advantage BMW in Midtown. Now, I've leased from Advantage. I go down there. My guy Justin down there, also Stephen Prather. I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased, I've bought. I love the drive of a BMW. It's like no other. Had a 5 Series, was in a sedan. Got the X5, drove it to New Jersey during the pandemic to see my parents. But the other thing that really works for me is they'll take you through sales, service, finance, And the customer service is the best. Advantage BMW Midtown, they're proud sponsors of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Also, my great friends at FM Kitchen and Bar. It's just north of Washington on Shepherd. Get over to FM Kitchen and Bar. Great craft cocktails, great food, big open patio. Bring the dog, bring the kids. It's FM Kitchen and Bar. It's one of my spots.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
I'm Greg Berhalter. You're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN 97.5.
Jeez, for a second there, I thought it was my funeral. That who is this? What's the name of this band? Aaron. Oh, this is Chemical Brothers? Okay, sounded a little bit like organ music at a funeral. I just had a bad Okay, we're getting away from that. Let's get back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Got a lot of phone calls coming in here. Let's get your take. We will be giving some tickets away to the Houston Dynamo tonight, so be ready for that as well. Let's go to our phone lines. I think we have Ivan. Ivan's up. What's up, Ivan?
Hey, man. Quick question for you. In regards to the comment you made about the back three for the United States being a little scary at times, over the Nations League, how big of an effect do you think Raul Jimenez would have had if he were available to the Mexican team? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah, well, Raul Jimenez is the big miss right now, and I think, you know, they were kind of playing with a false nine with Chucky Lozano. That guy is just a quality center forward. That's when it gets scary, when Jimenez gets healthy, and you've got Tecatito, you've got Chucky, you got Lainez around him. That's when it will get really, really scary. So that's a whole different dynamic. I was talking about the back three in the early stages of this game against Mexico. They were getting pulled all over the place. Lozano was pulling John Brooks into midfield. Tim Ream and McKenzie were getting pulled out wide quite a bit. So it was chaotic, quite frankly. I mean, if you looked at it, it was not working the way it was supposed to work. I think part of the design here from Greg Berhalter was to get Sergiño Dest into the attack. Not sure that really worked out too well, although we know he's a good footballer. But the U.S. got stability when they went to a back four, and it got better for them. But look, Hector Moreno scores there, and there's no VAR. It's 2-0. Things could have been very, very different. I don't think there's any question in a game like this. I don't think the U.S. would have ever given up when it comes to the fight. But a 2-0 scoreline to Mexico that quick in a first half, very, very dangerous. Who we got now? Who's up next? John, what's on your mind, John?
Hey, Glenn, thanks for taking my call. Yeah. I'm kind of with you. I think the results were kind of mixed. I thought we saw a lot of good stuff. One of the things I was hoping to see a little bit more of is, you know, with all these young guys playing on the big teams, kind of like what you were alluding to on the blitz, is seeing us have a little bit more of the ball and not struggling so much, with Mexico's press, with the back three. That's on the negative side. But on the positive side, I thought, one, we saw fight and grit from the U.S. men's national team that we didn't see in the last cycle. The other thing we saw is lots of leadership and confidence from young players. I mean, Weston McKennie stepped up twice with two big plays on set pieces, right after we had not only gone down one goal, but then it happened a second time, he stepped up again. And then you see on the third goal with Christian, I mean, there was no question to anybody on that field who was going to take that penalty kick. And he stepped up and just hit a beauty of a penalty kick.
No question, John. The big takeaways, leadership, possibility and hope, lots of things that are going to have to get better. I think we have to remember these Mexico-U.S. games can be very chaotic. We also have to remember these are guys that, you know, don't have a lot of time with their national teams. This is always has to be factored into it. But it's a win-win for the United States. You can pick on anything you want. They won the game 3-2. They did it in unique fashion. It was a final. They won a trophy. And it's a bunch of young guys that I think are embracing the future. So you bring good points out. It's easy to be critical. We'll see what happens in the future. I appreciate that, John. Thank you very much for that. Now, I would just say two things that are big to me. The three-back system, they're going to have to get their back four sorted out. Who's going to be the other center back? Will it be McKenzie with Brooks? We'll find that out. Matt Miazga will not play tomorrow against Costa Rica, which the U.S. has a friendly. He's going back to prepare for his wedding. Walker Zimmerman has been called in as a center back. But the other thing I would say is, for me, Christian Pulisic has to be closer. As John alluded to the play of Weston McKennie, he's got to be closer to him and Adams in midfield so they can get him on the ball. Those guys are incredible ball winners. They cover incredible ground, incredible athletes. They win the ball. They need to be able to get their head up and see 10 to 15 yards, 20 yards away, Christian Pulisic, and he needs the ball at his feet. And the U.S. is going to have to figure out simply how to get him on the ball more and more and more. Caesar, you're up. What's up, Caesar?
Hi, Glenn. Enjoyed the game, and I enjoyed your analysis. One thing about Mexico is I've been watching them the last four or five World Cups, and they always struggle with the set pieces. I mean, it's they can never defend the set pieces well. It's amazing, no matter who the coach is. I don't know, that's always a big problem that they have. But I think that's been a glaring weakness. I thought the U.S. played well. The one thing I question about is, you know, some of the substitutions and the starting lineup. You know, Robinson, he actually starts at for Fulham, where and Reem is on the bench. But this game, Robinson didn't even start. They could have used him at that back position. Claudio Reyna or Gio Reyna got pulled out, and you know, was he hurt? I thought he was playing pretty well. He seemed to be doing okay, and I'm not sure why he got pulled out. And then Tyler Adams, he was supposed to be 100%. They brought him on late. Luckily, he played really well. And then would have loved to see Tim Weah play some more. You know,
well, look. I mean, you're going through almost everybody, Caesar. I mean, first of all, Reyna's 18, so you've got five substitutions. You're playing Mexico. You know, it's easy to say, well, Reem isn't starting at Fulham. I mean, there's a reason why Reem was in there initially, because he's more of a center back than Anthony Robinson, and Dest played on the left side. So, you know, you have to figure in some of these other dynamics that come with the coach. Adams is coming off an injury. That's probably I'm just making my best stab at it. I'm not the coach, but he's coming off injury.
Yeah.
You're probably not trying to stress him too early. They did change the system. Ultimately, they did kind of play with three left backs on the day with Dest. Reem got exposed when he was out wide. That's not where he wants to be, quite frankly. That could have been Anthony Robinson at that point when they went to a back four. But I bet you he starts against Costa Rica tomorrow, Robinson. And then you finally did get Adams on. And Adams went into midfield. And then Acosta came to an outside back position. So, you know, a lot of good points, but, you know, that's why we're not the coaches, and Greg Berhalter is. Thank you for the call, Caesar.
Yeah, no problem, and thank you.
I appreciate you coming on the air. So good stuff there from Caesar. Let's go to Jacob. Jacob.
Hey, how you doing? You hear me?
Yep. Hi, Jacob.
So one of my buddies was lucky enough to go to the game, and he ran into this Mexican magician. And the magician said that he's going to disappear on the count of three. He went uno, dos, and then poof, he was gone without a trace. And that's the same thing that happened to that score on the board there. They got up to dos, but they never got that trace.
And your point is?
I'm just sharing a little joke with you, that's all.
It's good. Any other takes on the game from you outside of the Mexican magician? Okay. Well, that was good from Jacob. Maybe I didn't get the joke. I guess 1, 2, 3. He left after the third goal. Is that what it was? Okay. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here. Marcelo Balboa will come back, come on in the next segment, and we'll talk about the U.S. national team with him. Good point about the set pieces. Mexico struggles there, and you know you can't struggle there because you can dominate large portions of games, dominate a game, and if you're inattentive and you're poor defending set pieces, you can lose. Araujo, Hector Moreno in there. Hector Moreno scored an attacking set piece. Hector Herrera. Now, there's some shouts for Herrera to be sent off with a second yellow. 713-780-3776. I think the big shining star out of this game for Tata Martino was Diego Lainez. But, by the way, Mexican press, you know, we're talking, some of the headlines were Mexico was erratic. Christian Pulisic, Captain America. Tata Martino loses his fourth final. That was another one. He was sent off. By the way, is Christian Pulisic the new Landon Donovan now? Is he going to be the most hated player when it comes to the Mexican national team? Because you know Mexico fans never hated Landon Donovan. Never. They love him. They loved him because of the type of player he was. Technical. And they wish he played for the Mexican national team. 713-780-3776. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. This show is always brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. They're also the presenting sponsors, John and his firm, of our show in Austin on the Horn. So you can always go up there and listen to that show as well on Monday nights. So it's great to have soccer on the airwaves. Been doing it since 2002. All the support, the phone calls, it all makes a lot of a difference, a big difference. Certainly means a lot to me as well when you're calling in, when you're, you know, clicking and following things. And we're doing the new Burning Topics, which is brought to you by Cactus Music, and putting those mini hits out to remind people of the show and remind people that Hugh O'Connor's Pub on I-10 and the Marquee Entertainment Center is going to be the official home of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 during the Euros. Get over there, watch the games, come in there, take the shows in live with me. It's fun. I haven't been out. I'm going to be honest with you. That's going to be the first time I'm breaking out of the home studio. Will be next Tuesday night, June 15th. Then we'll do shows on the 22nd, the 29th, July 6th. We're going to do jersey giveaways. We're going to do ticket giveaways, soccer ball giveaways. Got a Dennis Law signed shirt. There's going to be more memorabilia coming in. There's going to be some awesome stuff there. Soccer Matters t-shirts. I know everybody's been talking about the black one that's out there, and black with orange print. That one's out there, and we're going to be going live soon with the Soccer Matters store where people are going to be able to buy them, and there's going to be a charitable side of that as well. We're looking forward to that for the Snowdrop Foundation. So a lot of great things going on. This is your soccer station in Houston, Texas. There is no other. This is the best in soccer talk. I will remind you that, and it's self-proclaimed. I'll also remind you that because it's interesting. People get a podcast or a blog, and all of a sudden it is the best, and it's only their fifth podcast. So ease into it, everybody. Work it. It only took me 18 years on the radio, and I'm still not that good at it. Still trying to get better at it constantly. 713-780-3776. The U.S. started that game with Reem Brooks and McKenzie as center back, Zach Steffen in goal, Destin Yedlin wide. I wonder where Yedlin's going to be in the future. He certainly battled. Kellen Acosta, Weston McKennie in midfield, Christian Pulisic, Gio Reyna, and Josh Sargent. Number nine position is a question. Would you bring back a Jozy Altidore? Michael Bradley, are they still on the radar? Could they affect the chemistry of the team? 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. We're going to take a break here. It's Advantage BMW Midtown Break. Soccer Matters brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. On a break, Marcelo Balboa next.
Help, 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 help.
to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Hi, guys. I'm Hector Moreno. You're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
Big thank you to Hector for that. Guess what? Hector just signed with Rayados in Mexico. Tigres also brought another French World Cup winner in the style of André Pierre Gignac. Florian Thauvin will come from Marseille. So the French connection continues with Tigres and Hector Moreno to Rayados, who Hector was linked to a number of MLS teams, including Austin. Maybe I'll ask Matt Jordan if they had any interest in Hector Moreno. Not sure, because of, you know, some older center backs in the Dynamo, like Minor Figueroa. They can't go on forever. But we'll talk about that. All right, a couple of real quick things here. U.S. Women's National Team is in town. They'll play Portugal on Thursday. They will play Jamaica on the 13th, and then Nigeria at the Q2 Stadium in Austin. You know, having to pick an 18 now for the Olympics, a big name is probably going to be left off. And you got to wonder if Portugal and Jamaica, if you're using these games truly to make a choice on who goes to the Olympics or not, is that good enough competition? If, in fact, that's a big piece of the factoring in of your choice when trying to decide on the final slot or two on this roster. We will have Vlatko Andonovski on later. Right now, talk more U.S.-Mexico, Marcelo Balboa. Great friend, former broadcast partner for many, many years. In fact, we did a six-year run. More importantly, Hall of Famer and a former center back for the United States men's national team. He is the one and only Marcelo Balboa. Last night he called the U.S. game for Univision. Marcelo, how are you? How's the voice?
I'm good, buddy. A little scraggy, but not bad.
You know, I thought that might have been from drinking some good whiskey after the game, celebrating the U.S. win.
I drink tequila, my friend.
All right. That's even better. All right, so let's, I've stated a lot of the obvious here in the first segment. I want to get into some things that are a little bit deeper. Look, we saw what these young guys did. We saw the spirit, the battling, the resiliency, the ability to deal with twists and turns here. What's outside of those things? What is the biggest takeaway from you?
They showed cojones, man. We know how well they are individually, and they can break a team down one by one. But last night was the first time that I could say that this team fought scratch collectively, not individually, collectively found a way to win a game. They didn't give up. They kept on pushing. I think when they went to four in the back instead of five the second half, they were a better team. And for some reason, there's certain games, Glenn, when you're starting to build a team and something has to happen in order for it to all come together. And last night, it came together for the U.S. But for me, that was the first time I've seen them, a collective effort as a team to fight, to scratch, to press, to counter-press, everything you want in a team, they did it last night.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%. And it did seem a lot more stable and under control when they went to a back four. What do you think the future is there? Because, listen, that game could have been lost in the first 20 minutes with this three-back system, because those three center backs were getting pulled all over the place, pulled into midfield, pulled wide.
Yeah.
It was a mess.
Yeah. Yeah, hallelujah for VAR, because if not, we would have been down 2-0 after 10 minutes. So, I think in every game you have to look at tactically what you're going to do. You know, I mean, I like the four-back system. I think that they have the players that can play like that. The five-back system, Desch didn't really get into the game except for one run down the left-hand side where he beat three Mexican players. Yedlin really didn't. We didn't really see him get into the attack. He defended more. So for me, it's more of a four-back system. And I still think it's Jonathan Brooks and question mark, because I'm not sold that Matt McKenzie. People were telling me how great he was last night. And I thought he was okay, but he also gave up the pass for the goal. He also could have gotten a second yellow card and got his life saved in the game, and then the handball. So You know what I mean? I still think there's the issue is a center back.
All right, I'm going to defend him a little bit because I'm going to say as a young guy, he didn't get buried by it, though. He did fight back to get through the game. The handball, I mean, I don't know how much you can blame him with that. The second yellow card, yeah, Hector Carrera could have got one. I think you could have picked three or four.
100%.
He could have got a 100%. Second yellow. So, but I was impressed that he didn't fold Marcelo. I guess that's what was good for me. He didn't
fold. Yeah, but it wasn't him. His team didn't allow him to fold. Them switching to a four-back system made it better for them because, listen, Mexico, when the U.S. started controlling the game, Mexico had no outlet. When they took Chucky and put him to the outside, Chucky Lozano did nothing, really. Think about it. Look what he did. Linus, on the other hand, Linus came in, and Linus ate up Tim Reams.
Yeah, and by the way, when he finishes that, I looked at that today. He's only 15 yards away from goal, and there's three guys around him cutting in on his left.
But there we go back again. Who were the three guys? Tim Ream, Matt McKenzie did not step up, didn't do anything, and went through his legs. So again, listen, I know he's a young kid. I'm not beating him up. I'm just saying I'm not sure he's the partner yet for Brooks. That's all.
All right. So then the obvious next question is who is?
That's the question. That's the question right now.
Who do we put in that category? Because Aaron Long's injured.
Well,
right?
You still got to look at Matt Miazga. You know, I mean, there's Richards that's playing the kid from FC Dallas. I mean, listen, I think Matt McKenzie is in the running. There's no doubt about it. But again,
Walker Zimmerman,
one injury,
Major League Soccer, Nashville. Walker Zimmerman.
Here's the deal: we'll find out at the Gold Cup because more than likely Walker Zimmerman will be brought in, and we'll get to see the other center backs. So.
Well, I don't know if it's it's obviously not his position yet, but. I don't think that puts him out of contention. That's for sure. He did fight his
Not at all.
All right, talk a little bit about Ethan Horvath. I mean, what a story that was.
That's a great story, especially being a kid from Colorado. Played for Real. Zach Steffen goes down. He comes in. We saw what he did against Switzerland. He played well against Switzerland. He's going through good form right now. So, it was funny because we were doing the game and we looked over at each other with the other play-by-play guy and we just kind of looked at each other and said, he's going to save it. And I think it was very strange that Guardado took that PK.
I felt like it was going to be saved at home as well or he was going to miss. I had that same feeling. It's kind of weird. I don't want to be Nostradamus. I'm not putting on the shades like Dempsey and predicting it. Remember Clint was doing the sunglasses on the set of CBS. All right. So I'm going to take you into something here that's a bigger picture piece here, and we appreciate it. It's Marcelo Balboa, Hall of Famer, number of World Cups for the United States. We remember when he came to Major League Soccer with the Colorado Rapids in 96, the inception of the league, still doing a lot of coaching. He's the Rapids analyst as well. Called the game last night for Univision. Okay, this is a really interesting one. Based on what you just said, you just told us that this was one of those galvanizing games, right? You could tell when they were sitting on the podium. It was awesome. I mean, the youth was coming through. I thought these guys just won a Labor Day tournament, you know? They just looked happy, supportive of each other, collective, and there was just a great young spirit there. What is Greg Berhalter going to do with this question? Do you phase out Jozy Altidore? Do you phase out Michael Bradley? Or do you risk bringing them back into this mix and changing what is a ever-growing dynamic?
Well, let me ask you a question. Why are you using the word fade out?
Phase out or move them on or you can use whatever word you want.
But I'm saying they're moved on. They haven't been on the national team for a while. There's no need to bring them back. Listen, they've had great careers with the national team. Jozy and Michael are doing well there. But tell me why you would need them right now. Maybe Jozy because they're still looking for a forward, but I don't think looking at Tyler Adams, looking at McKenzie, looking at guys that can play in those positions, I don't feel like this team needs the Michael Bradley anymore. So I think you move on from him. Jozy, to me, is still a question because I'm not sure Sargent can get it done. He hasn't proven that he can get it done. Peacock went in last night. And he didn't really do much. to be honest with you. So I think for me, there's still a question as at nine. I'm sure we'll see Zardes in Gold Cup, so he'll have an opportunity. But I'm not sure. The one spot for me is a center back, and the center forward to me are still question marks.
Yeah, would agree with you. Now, so you believe that Altidore and Bradley have been phased out. I mean, they may not have been playing for a number of reasons because they're known entities, and a lot of these were friendlies. Would Greg Berhalter bring them back for World Cup qualifying? I mean, look, we know how close he is to Bob Bradley and the whole history there.
Again, I think Josie, because of the question mark, and we know what Josie can do when he's fit and he's healthy. You got to probably look at him because the nine is a big question mark still, I think.
Yeah.
We don't have a pure goal scorer up there yet. So do I think Josie's in the mix? Yeah, but if you look at the midfield, how talented it is, I don't think there's a need to bring Michael Bradley back.
Marcelo Balboa, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to continue with national team talk. This time we move to the U.S. Women's National Team. Vlatko Andonovski and the U.S. Women's National Team in Texas. They will play Thursday at BBVA Stadium. Vlatko will join us live next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.